Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 176. Grant Paulson, Toby Altizer. In the wake of a three-game series in Philly, Nats very easily could have taken two out of three. They had a lead going into the ninth inning and needed Kyle Finnegan to slam the door in game one of the series. Didn't happen. Pretty demoralizing loss. But Finnegan did get his 10th save in game three as they held on for a win. So competitive series. They lose the first two games. They take the third. You'll move along, I suppose, having been competitive with a division power in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, you'd love to go in and win a game against Philadelphia, especially after how that nasty series was to open the year. But at the same point, you know, winning one there, making sure you salvage a game in the series without getting swept, because, you know, you had a chance to win in the first one. Not so great in the second game, but at least good to leave there with a win. It's always tough to play at Citizens Bank Park, especially just against this Phillies iteration with this team. It seems like that's a team that gives them a little bit of trouble. Obviously a good baseball team, but they really, really struggle against the Phillies. So at least getting one, now go to Cincinnati, see if you can win that series at Great American.
Tough thing for me is just when you lose these games from a bullpen standpoint that you can't afford to, right? It's just so hard when you're under-talented in these matchups in the division to play eight innings of baseball and have a lead. And in the case of the first game of this series, you know, when you get the three-run home run down to your final strike, two outs, two strikes, in the ninth, you're assuming that you're about to strike out or hit a ground ball and the game's over, and you hit a three-run bomb down the line to take, you know, a one-run lead like they did, you got to make that hold up. I mean, there's just no other way around it. That has to be a win, and it wasn't. And you only get so many of those before it feels backbreaking, but they are demoralizing, and they can kind of hinder morale if there's enough of them piling up in the clubhouse. And clearly, the front office has seen enough because they're starting to make changes in the bullpen, which we'll get into. But just as a, you know, fan base, it's tough because you just never really trust with one or two runs that your bullpen's going to do the job. But that's one of those games, Toby, that's just got to be a win. It should be a win of the year candidate at the end when you look back at the best, most dramatic wins, you know, that were the most fun to watch. Oh, that time that Nathaniel Lowe hit the three-run homer down two, down to their final strike, and they got a win on the road in Philly, and instead it was a loss with your ace, Mackenzie Gore, on the mound. So those are killers, and I think when you add those up over the course of the year, if you have six or seven of those, it's the difference between, you know, them maybe being the 71 or 72 win team again and them being the 78, 79 win team that they thought they could be when the season started, when you're knocking on the door of 500 at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because we've seen them win those ball games plenty of times before, especially over the last couple of seasons. And even in that Mets series, it kind of seemed similar sort of thing where they had to come back in the final innings and find a way, and they weren't able to close this one out, unlike the other ones where they were able to close it out. And the thing is, it's tough with the bullpen, but it's not even all bullpen there. If K-Bert Ruiz catches the ball and makes the tag there, the final out, they record it and they end up winning, and you don't end up in that situation. So it's just it's been an interesting thing where that one wasn't necessarily fully on the bullpen, although you'd like to see Finnegan find a way to finagle out of it, even with the mistakes and some of the stuff. He's obviously put them in a position that they got to make that play. Good throw from Cruz, unable to make the tag there. But I think we've seen throughout the year that this is going to be the case multiple times. We'll probably talk about it 3 to 4 times a month at this point, Grant, where there's a game that you feel like, okay, they should win this one, or in this case, they probably shouldn't have been in it. They find a way to come back, and then you're right there and you don't win it. But there's going to be so many times this year where either you're close in a ball game and then the bullpen's unable to keep it close, and you go on a late run, but it's too little too late because the bullpen gave up some runs, so you're no longer close. Or, in turn, you're ahead, and the bullpen isn't able to hold the lead. I just think that's kind of where this bullpen is at. There's not a lot of guys that you can trust down there, and I think, you know, we were texting about this. I think you tweeted about it as well. It's a good point that, you know, some of these games, and that game in particular, if you spent a little bit of money, whether it was an extra bat so you can maybe put up another run, or whether it's in the bullpen to fix, so just have some guys that you can trust, especially in the back end there, then maybe a couple of these games change. And it's hard not to look back at what we've talked about all throughout this season, where their message has been to win ball games. And sometimes it's hard to blame Davey, even though I don't necessarily love the way that he manages at times. It's hard to blame some of these guys when they're going, or blame Davey when some of the guys he's turning to are his best options and they're not coming through.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, when you go into the season with a paper-thin bullpen because you spent a couple million dollars per reliever on a couple of relievers, weirdly, your bullpen's not always going to be that great. And yeah, I refuse to believe that's a Mike Rizzo decision or that that's a front office decision, not to excuse them because you got X amount of dollars to spend. You got to spend it as well as possible. And, you know, when you choose Colin Poche and it backfires, you got to wear that to some extent. But when you get very little money, my first priority is to blame the people that aren't giving you any money. It's not to say, hey, you had $5. Why didn't you buy the best cut of meat? It's to say, why are you only giving me $5 to shop? And then we could talk about whether we spent the $5 correctly, but I should be shopping with $20, not $5. So that's kind of the frustration. And yeah, that was another one of those games that I just thought you could kind of see where one bat, an actual addition in the lineup, where one bullpen arm maybe would have been the difference. Before we talk about the change that was made in the bullpen, specific to this Philly series, one more storyline I wanted to hit on from one of the two losses. That was Jake Irvin. Did give up 6 earned runs. Now, 3 of those came on one swing from Kyle Schwarber in the first. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the pitching line, but he did, again, show his velocity down considerably. They're saying it's a mechanical thing. Okay, I guess. Here's what I know. I'm not smart enough to tell you why. I can just tell you what. And the what here is that his four-seam fastball last year averaged 94 miles per hour, right? It was a pitch that routinely came across home plate at, you know, 95 to 97. But his average fastball last year was 93.9. This year, his average fastball is 92, a difference of 2 miles an hour. His two-seamer has gone from 91 miles an hour, from 93 rather, to 91. His curveball has gone from 81 to 78. Like, all of his pitches are basically 2 or 3 miles an hour slower than they were last year. And the pitch that really matters, the four seamer, you know, he was throwing 89 miles an hour, 89, 90 at times in this game against Philadelphia. So this is something to track. He has mostly been effective. He's had some rough starts at the very beginning, and then here, giving up 6 runs in the middle, he was very effective, and he was pitching at 92, 93 a bunch. But last year, he was humping 95, 96. We saw him run into some 7s and 8s. Like, the fastball was pretty firm. You're not seeing anything like that right now from Irvin. They're saying it's mechanics. I'll take their word for it. But at some point, you want to see that velocity come back, or else you do start to worry just a little bit. You know, his average against on the fastball is actually 205 last year. Right now, it's 326. And he's now fallen kind of below what is the big league average right-handed fastball by about 1.6 miles per hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little concerning when you look at the fact that in his last start, when you go back and look at, he goes into the eighth inning, right? He comes out after a couple of batters in the eighth. They go to Jose A. Ferrer, and it kind of goes the other direction. And they talked about his fastball velo being part of the reason that he came out of that outing. He threw a sinker at 89.5 in that inning, in that eighth inning of his last appearance before this one against Philadelphia, a sinker at 90. And then in the previous at bats to McNeil to open up the eighth inning, he threw a fastball at 90.1 miles an hour. So that to them was a red flag. And then in the fifth inning in this outing, he was facing Kyle Schwarber and had in the sequence, his first pitch was an 89.3 mile an hour four seamer. His next one was an 89.8 mile an hour four seamer. Then he threw back to back changeups. So I don't know, Grant. Like there's got to be something there. I don't know if it is truly mechanical. That's what they're saying, and I guess we have to take their word for it. You don't want to speculate on injuries, but when you look at just numbers like this, it's concerning with a pitcher that, you know, they've kind of trusted to be their workhorse. We've talked about at times almost frustratingly with some of the other guys in the rotation, specifically Mackenzie Gore. They seem to be very, very hesitant to let him go out there once he gets to a certain pitch mark, whether it's 90, 95, whatever the number is, versus Jake Irvin, they kind of let be the workhorse. They kind of let him go out there. And now maybe you're seeing some effects of that. Hopefully it's nothing long-term. Hopefully it's nothing bad. But the fact that in the last outing, when he got to the eighth, you're looking at a number just around 90, and that was a red flag for them. And then in this outing, he hit that in the fifth. It's a little bit concerning.
Yeah, it certainly is. One other thing I noticed just while looking up his velocities when you and I were talking about this earlier today in the studio, he's throwing way more changeups this year. Last year, he threw that pitch about 3% of the time. He threw 105 changeups all year. He's already thrown 75 changeups, obviously most of them against left-handers, but he's throwing it about 12% of the time, 4X essentially in terms of, you know, the pitch selection. But last year, that pitch had an average against of 125, and maybe that was just because of the sample, but you know, it was very effective. This year, the average against the changeups 280. His best pitch has and will continue to be his curveball. It's an amazing pitch for him, 176 average against this year. It was even better than that, I think, at times last year and finished in the low 200s, but it's one of the better curveballs in terms of the metrics in the sport. So just worth monitoring some of the things that the pitch usage and whatnot that you get from him. I thought Brad Lord was very effective. He was allowed to pitch into the sixth inning, which was cool. I don't think Davey honestly would have allowed him to do that. Maybe I'm, you know, overthinking it here, but Davey was not there and he went into the sixth and he got a couple batters. He gave up hits to both of them and then was pulled out of the game and one came around to score. But ultimately for him, you know, five innings, two runs, he's eventually going to be bumped out of the rotation, and it could be very soon, depending on how the rehab start goes for Mike Soroka at AAA Rochester tomorrow as we record on Thursday night. He's pitching on Friday at Rochester. But Lord, I think, has shown well enough at the big league level that you feel okay about him making a spot start. I think when he gets fully built up from an arm strength standpoint and stretched out, you know, you could count on him to be a five or six inning back of the rotation starter this year in that Williams role if needed. But in the meantime, maybe he could help them out in the bullpen. There's no reason he couldn't pitch some innings in that role they kind of carved out for him when the year began before the Soroka injury.
Yeah, I've really been impressed with him. He's, you know, it's been something where the results haven't always been there, but it's usually been an inning or two. It's not as if, you know, he hasn't been effective. There are some innings he goes out there and looks really, really good. Thought he looked really, really good in his outing today. So, you know, he's going to end up going back to that bullpen role once Soroka comes back. But I think he's someone that I think this team is going to like to have some of that versatility. You know, maybe he's someone that ends up getting a late inning, multiple inning sort of relief role because they're still looking for high leverage arms. You know, we saw Jose A. Ferreira in the finale come in and pitch really well, but he's kind of struggled and been up and down throughout the season. So if you could find one more guy that you feel like you could trust later on, where instead of having Brad Lord have to face an order a couple of times, you know, he only has to go out there for maybe two innings and face someone in the sixth and the seventh or seventh and eighth or something like that. So you can find a way to get it to Finnegan. I think he's shown that he can be effective for a couple of innings at a time. So it'll be nice to see if they can add him in there and he becomes an effective reliever. But regardless, he's been a nice, you know, piece to this team this year. You'd like to see some of the results a little bit better, but I think he's shown that he has the goods. It's just now about finding some of that consistency.